Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Chicago Cubs.
Cubs win! Cubs win the ball game!
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The Score!
Oh! Broken bat, a flare to left field. Montgomery, will he get there? Oh, what a catch! In his big league debut, you see what Colson Montgomery can do. Welcome to the show.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine here until 11:30 today. That's when the Cubs pregame show begins right here on The Score. First pitch 12:05 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Time now to go out to The Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. CircaLasVegas.com is where we find the White Sox Director of Amateur Scouting, Mike Shirley. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good morning, Chicago. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us. We know it's a busy weekend. We know you've got your hands full because the MLB draft is on Sunday. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock Central Time, rounds 1 through 3 begin. The Sox have the 10th overall pick. How would you describe the frenzied activity leading up to Sunday?
Deep, rich, exhausting, exhilarating. I think you can hit every adjective available. But, the White Sox have worked extremely hard for this. There's been a lot of talk about, not being able to be in the lottery this year. But, we've talked, we've worked, we've diligently exhausted every avenue and continue to do that up to the moment. But we feel good about where we're starting to land. We'll get a great player. We'll keep this thing moving forward. So we're excited.
Mike, we talked with myself and the other media people with you the other day about some of the strategy. And you talked about, kind of getting the two best players initially at number 10, and I think it's 44 that you draft second. Talk a little bit about that strategy and what you guys are looking forward to trying to do with your pool money.
Well, I think, when you're examining the draft today with, pool allocation being what it is, I mean, you have a certain limit. So I think what we've tried to do is take real values on each player and see how we can build them out between 10 and 44. I think it's a rich high school shortstop class that we've worked extremely hard on. There are college players that we are working, at the moment very hard to figure out where they fit in totality with the group. Our job is to keep, this thing moving forward. We're really excited about our young core. So as we look at it, how do we create a more diverse offense is something that always is in the forefront, where hitting has become extremely difficult for everyone today. So when we look at that process, we're trying to build out our best first two, even in the 76, our best three first picks we can value and use the pool space most effectively.
We heard a highlight coming in from the Chicago Sports Network about Colson Montgomery, who obviously made his debut last week and did so in dramatic fashion with a great catch against the Rockies and has been pretty productive at the plate in his first week in the majors. His path to Chicago hasn't been linear. And I just wonder, from from his experience, the Colson Montgomery experience, drafted 21st overall, a first rounder, what kind of lessons have there been for the next high school shortstop you might draft, whether it's JoJo Parker or Steele Hall or somebody like that? Are there things that happened along the way for Colson Montgomery and his development that are instructive for you in this draft?
Absolutely. And, you know, for me this last night, very rewarding to watch Colson be on the field. I snuck away out of the draft room last night and watched the majority of the game and just, you know, watched him be on the field. It's a great reminder. Grant pitching last night, Grant Taylor coming in, Jonathan Cannon started the game. I think it's a great reminder of what these players that we draft are capable of being and having the foresight and forecasting what the future could look like. But with Colson, you know, a lot. And you were talking about development not being perfect. You know, that's the best thing. The thing that we feel most secure about was the high-end capacity that Colson Montgomery brought to the table. We know we had something that had a chance to be special. And when you're looking and predicting what the future is, those tools, those assets, those players that can touch a certain segment of the game that a lot of other players can't, you have to be very mindful of that. Impact is something that's very delicate, but it's also something that's very rewarding. And the willing to take the risk on impact is something that's so important. We cannot. And, you know, I caution our group all the time, hey, don't be afraid of the risk. If we believe in it, let's reach for it. And these high school shortstops today, when you talk about those names, just mentioned a couple of those guys, exciting players, guys that have the athleticism, the twitch, the ability to make adjustments really fast. Those are the type of the segments in the draft that you have to pay attention to.
I know you have no control over it, nor politically you're able to do anything about it, but when you develop a young shortstop like Colson and you guys work with, you know, first your signability of him, then the development of him, and then getting him to the big leagues, and then I see them playing him at third base for one game, I go, what is this all about? You know, he's your shortstop of the future. Why is he playing third base? I understand, you know, the idea that the White Sox are in development mode and it's up to Will and everybody to get the best idea about where everybody can play and get them used to playing at different positions. But to me, it's like, guys, you've worked so hard to get this shortstop to the big leagues. Why not play him every day?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bruce, I think when we think about major league lineups today and how to best effectively you take the teams that are really successful, especially with Rich Payrolls today, and you look at how they maneuver their lineups and they build out an offense that's real. You know, for us, we think Colson's a shortstop. But I think as our future unlocks the ability to maneuver players at different locations and deploy them to build out offenses, I think it's a rich skill. It's good for Colson. I do think as he understands how to be a shortstop, he'll understand what that third base feels like. He'll understand how to move his body or understand the game defensively at the major league level from multiple sectors. He's not been up there very long, so I think the learning curve he's kind of going through, for me personally, I never feel like that's a bad situation for the player to have a different insight on what the game looks like from different aspects. It also makes you understand when you're playing shortstop what that third baseman feels like at the major league level, the space, the first step, hops, how much different the ball comes off the barrel at times with these major league superstars. He's learning. At the end of the day, Bruce, it is about building the greatest player we can build out of Colson. And if you deploy them in certain sectors to build them out, I never look at that as a fail because 162 games, many things can happen in the game. You may have to move your lineup around a little bit to win a game late, especially when you're in a playoff race. So I think the learning curve of that also offers a lot of richness for him and for the White Sox.
It's solid information. I'm going to try to use that with my girlfriend about dating other women as well to see if that works, that analogy works for her. David?
Bruce, I wouldn't recommend that.
Thanks, Mike.
I don't want to be the one to give you.
Well, I'm just going to say Mike Shirley said moving around is a good thing, you know, so.
Hey, Bruce, listen, especially today, I got to be honest with you. My wife and I have been married 28 years today. I promise you, I can't give you that advice today.
Talking with White Sox Director of Amateur Scouting, Mike Shirley, here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So, Mike, you look around Major League Baseball, even the White Sox have, I think, adapted a little bit or changed. You can tell me if I'm wrong. It seems like the minor league path to the majors can be quicker for some guys. And guys are being brought up. The Sox have all the rookies this year. I think the count is at 11, the last I checked. I think Grant Taylor's here quicker than maybe people expected. You see other guys accelerated around the league. Cam Smith for the Cubs was drafted a year ago in the first round and starting in right field for the Astros. Does that affect who you pick early? Does that affect your thought process when drafting a guy to see how ready he might be in a year, in 2 years?
Well, since my history of scouting, I've never been in a draft room where someone hasn't described the players, hey, this guy could be a fast-track guy, a fast mover. I think you're always aware of the timetable in which a player is going to allocate his services to a major league team. So I think that that's going to continue to be rich. I've been trying to preach this a little bit. I think even today when you look at high school players, the advancement of the high school game, the way the summer circuits are built, their competition level has been expedited so much in the last few years. I think when you look at high school players, their speed to the major leagues is much quicker today. If you're a college baseball player and you play in one of these high-end conferences, I do think that your timetable to get to the major leagues faster, excuse me, is real. I mean, I do think that that's part of, you can't get there faster today because the competition level to college level, you're seeing major league stuff. You know, you're facing other equivalent major league guys who are going to play in the major league. So the competition level has completely changed, you know, presently.
Mike, you've obviously been talking a lot, so we're going to rest your voice here pretty soon. But we talked about the shortstops being, particularly high school shortstops, being the strength of this draft. Can you talk a little bit about the athleticism of a young shortstop like a Montgomery, but some of these other guys that are in the draft, and the fact that they don't always end up at shortstop, but they're usually good enough to play very well at other positions?
Yeah, I mean, I think even with this group, you talk about, you know, when you look at the scout card, you're still talking about five tools. And I think what you see in a lot of these high school shortstops today is the, you know, first step quickness, which allocates to their run tool. And most of those guys on these high school shortstops have plus run tools and allows that first step quickness to be explosive. I think the arm strength development across our game, you see all the velocity that has occurred at the major league level in the pitchers. Think about how position players have also expedited their arm strength. So when you start touching these high school shortstops that have speed, first step quickness, they are the best player. They're highly athletic, which means their instinctive skills have a tendency to grow rapidly because they see it faster, they see it quicker. Then they have the arm strength to really go in the hole, play on the run, be mobile, put their body in tough positions to make the tougher plays and, you know, execute that. That's what you see in these high school guys that's real today. And it's an exciting part. I always said that's my favorite part about scouting is going out and watching these guys grow up, watching how they morph into being these major league starters. And it's what our game's about. It's the fun part of what that shortstop crop at the major league level looks like today.
So you've got guys in this draft who are high school players, big bats. You know, we mentioned JoJo Parker, Steele Hall, Billy Carlson are some of the names you see. And I just wonder, you have, I believe, the 14th, right in the middle of the pack in terms of your draft bonus pool money, $12.1 million. This is a different era with NIL, offering financial opportunities to players coming out of high school, players who are already in college that didn't exist back when, you know, they didn't have those options. How does that complicate things, if that's the right way to describe it? How does it change your approach, perhaps?
Well, I think it gets real right now. I mean, like today is when it starts to heat up on the player. You know, the advisors start calling around. They're trying to find a place in line for their client to land on the draft board, right? And if they don't like where it lands, the player feels it, right? And the college coach has an ability now to capture that moment of weakness the player feels about where he fits in line. And when those dollars become equivalent, it does have a tendency to maybe shape it a little different. Like if I can go back to school and make $300,000 and the club is offering me $300,000 and the player's willing to take the risk that maybe, you know, he could, you know, speed his services up by having a great senior year and maybe make the same amount next year, you know, there could be a win for them financially. And I think some guys are willing to take that risk. It's also become very scary on our end. We want guys who want to be major league players. And if you're starting to question yourself and you don't want to get in our game and you're pushing back from that, like, that's hard to do. age is real in our game. We talk about players getting to major leagues faster today. Mm-hmm. We talk about guys' timetable. You don't have forever up there. The next wave's coming nonstop. So you have to make sure you insert yourself in the major league game when it's going to be profitable for you, if that's what it's about.
Mike, in closing with you, my last question is about the looking at young players and the coachability of them. Every kid these days has a swing coach or a pitching coach, even from, you know, junior league all the way through high school. And how much does that come into play when you're looking at a player and you're going, well, geez, he's so locked in with his swing coach. We don't know about the coachability for our staff once we draft him. How much does that come into play when you're looking at the ability to either draft somebody or not, and the signability?
I think it works both ways, Bruce. I mean, it's real. I mean, there are players that we're considering in the first round that we've had to, you know, we do investigate who they've worked with, who's given them the information, how secure is that relationship, and how will that move forward? I think it's just awareness of how the player's taking on the information and how they're investing in their own game to build their career out. But it's real. You know, I think the funny, Bruce, what's kind of funny for me personally is, you know, when you talk to all the major league players, obviously I've been in the game forever, and I talk about guys, how they got to the major leagues. You know, I think a lot of parents today are and players are invested way too much on the mechanical side of the game, from just like swing coaches and always looking at just pure mechanics of it. And if you talk to major league players today, it kind of happened more naturally, organically for them, more so than just being jammed down what a swing coach told them to do. Because what we know about biomechanics today, what we know about the science of the game, I think a lot of kids are taking swing coaches' advice that actually doesn't work for them. And I think the swing coaches as a whole, and there's a lot of guys out there doing this, you have to be really careful, because you may be actually taking the value of the player away. And so it's a tough narrative. It's a tough landscape, both for the player and because there's some great minds out there working outside the game that are helping the players. But it's, you got to be really balanced about that, Bruce. But it's real value. You have to investigate what you're getting the player. You have to know where he comes from, who's helping him build out this career, and how much that's going to affect his future.
Last thing we have for you, Mike. So, okay, you're on the clock. You're picking 10th. And maybe somebody has fallen deeper than you to you that you didn't expect. And there's a debate in the room about, well, do we go here? Do we go there? This guy or that guy? How does that go in those conversations? What role does Chris Getz play in all of this? Bring us inside the room if you can.
Well, Chris is fully invested in this. And I keep saying this to everybody. I mean, Chris played in major leagues. He knows what it felt like. He was drafted twice. Remember, he was drafted out of high school and didn't sign. We drafted out of the University of Michigan to actually secure turf. So I think he's been through all this. So in his mind, I think he understands and has a vision what that high school player feels like, right? Being a college player, played at Wake, played at Michigan, he has a foundation for what that looks like. So he's fully invested in this, fully trying to make sure this is a big part.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Part of what he sees and what how it works for him. So he's fully invested in the decision, and he's a great support system for myself and the staff.
Great stuff, Mike. Good luck this weekend and tomorrow and Monday during the MLB draft. We appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Mike Shirley, the White Sox director of amateur scouting, big weekend ahead for the Sox. They draft 10th tomorrow. The Cubs have the 17th pick. There's some local guys from the area, Bruce, Brendan Summerhill, from Whitney Young, who is an outfielder in Arizona, Jack Bauer, 6'3 lefty from Lincoln Way East. There's some other guys who were, this is the biggest weekend of their lives so far. So it's a fun weekend. It kind of gets overlooked by the All-Star break and all the things going on. I don't know what
the timing of this is. Brutally bad. Brutally
really
bad.
Needs to be changed.
They thought this would draw attention to the draft more by having it on All-Star weekend. And it's just, to me, it's the opposite. It's like, oh, yeah, you're having the draft, but what about that home run derby the next day?
Well, here's the other thing. The draft being on July 13th, it really interrupts and interferes with the trade deadline. So the kind of speculation we have been engaged in since May, it really puts a big pause in the middle of all that, because you can't expect these general managers and executives to do that, to multitask to that degree. The draft is very important. The trade deadline is very important.
It's backed up 3 weeks from where it used to be. That means that there's 3 weeks of development after you sign a player that he doesn't get that summer, right? So the whole thing is all about marketing the draft, and it's worked the other way as far as I'm concerned.
What's the best solution? What would be a solution that makes sense? When? Would be back to early June?
Well, the day after the College World Series, which should be earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Should have the College World Series the last week of May, the first week of June, not drag it on. And get on with the development of these young players to go ahead and have careers as professionals.
The Cubs have drafted only one high school player in the last 13 years, Ed Howard from Mount Carmel. And is it fair to say, stalled?
Well, injury has led to a lot of Ed's lack of development.
That was 2020, I believe. You look at the last three draft picks, they're all in the majors. Cade Horton in 2022. Matt Shaw in 2023, Cam Smith in 2024. I asked this question of Mike Shirley because, to me, it used to be unheard of to have a player drafted in July and then starting for a team the following opening day. But that's what Cam Smith did.
Oh, well, look how quick Crochet got to the big leagues. And, the White Sox have done a very good job under Mike as a scouting director, identifying good players and getting them up to the major leagues. Now, as far as the sustainability and their big league trek, you know, that's up to other people.
Hagen Smith, his development, they shelved him for a short period of time. Last year's number one pick for the White Sox. He still remains on track. Bruce, I think, is that...
Yeah. Yeah, same. Look at Schultz is doing great, right? So your rotation next year could be both of those guys among the mix for 2026 White Sox.
Well, you've got Noah Schultz, who has struggled to AAA. You've got Hagen Smith, who has been stalled somewhat at AA. And you've got Grant Taylor, who's made the ascension quicker than anybody anticipated.
He's going to be, to me, he's a rotation guy.
I don't know, Bruce. I think they're going to keep that guy at the back end of the bullpen.
I sure hope not.
That mentality. Why? You want him in the starting rotation?
With that arm?
What do you make of what Tanner McDougal, another young pitcher in their system who's had
a tremendous month. Again, what they set out to do, they've accomplished so far. And mm-hmm. that is, they were going to, the quickest way to being a solid major league franchise is to have a lot of good young pitching. And they're doing that. Now, the deficit is, you know, they offensive players. And, you know, hopefully with a few trades here before the deadline, they're going to continue to add to the offense because they're not adding free agents as far as position players for a while.
So you think the Cubs are in the market for a pitcher? Do you think that they're looking at best available player? College versus high school, what do you think? What are you hearing?
I would say pitching. I would say, you know, if the right pitcher is there, they're going after him. If the right young high school shortstop's there and they feel his track is better, they might go that direction. Because as we talked about with Mike and a little bit earlier with the scouting director, Dan Kantrovitz, of the Cubs last week, is the high school shortstops can be envisioned as playing anywhere on the field, right? They're great high school athletes at shortstop, but the ability to be athletic makes them possibilities at any position, including center field. So there's great believability in drafting a young high school shortstop, and that he might end up at another position. Hopefully not third base like they're doing with Montgomery.
Yeah, you don't like that at all. I got that.
No,
I got the gist.
I don't get it.
Well, I think that they don't, for some reason, want to commit to Colson Montgomery as their everyday shortstop.
Well, why is he there?
I'm not sure. But last week, Will Venable, when they brought him up, and even after his debut, I think they talked about, well, there are going to be days when Mydroth plays shortstop still. I don't know why they're not committing to that double play combination.
I don't understand the messaging.
I don't understand the thought process or the philosophy.
Well, that's
no.
the messaging.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I understand, you know, you have, you know, down the road, he might be a third baseman. Doesn't have to be in the second week he's in the big leagues, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this team is not going anywhere that you have to demand him to play another position right now.
Last thing before we break, do you hear much about Brendan Summerhill, who I think grew up in, not that far from Wrigley Field, Cub fan, a guy who went to Whitney Young High School, as I mentioned, outfielder from Arizona, or Jack Bauer, the 6'3 lefty. Those are likely the two area kids who will get the calls first.
Yeah, I mean, Summerhill is considered a top player, and he'll be under consideration by the Cubs. Is it sexy to draft a outfielder? I don't know. Did the Mets consider that when they drafted Pete Crow Armstrong? And how long did they keep him?
Not long enough. And the number one overall pick likely to be Ethan Holliday?
Yeah. It could be Anderson, the pitcher.
Okay.
So he's also being projected there. But, you know, the reality of the NFL and the NHL and the NBA, where you get draft picks and you get them right away to help your team, doesn't exist in baseball. I mean, it does when you have a Paul Skeens, Mazurowski's, you know, showing up like that. But, you know, the reality is it's a process. And sometimes a general manager who runs a draft isn't there to watch very much of those guys playing in the big leagues.
Brady Council, Craig's son from Kansas, is going to get drafted.
Excellent player. Yeah.
Wow. That would be something. Could the Cubs step in and have add another Council to the mix?
Can't afford it.
All right. Well, there are a lot of other people who could be coming to Chicago, and Chicago Bound is one of our favorite games. And we'll play that next when we come back. What are the possibilities for the Cubs at the deadline? Who might be coming? Who might be staying? Who might be offered in any potential trades? We'll talk about it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You know I was Chicago Bound.
This is the pattern that a lot of young players go through. It's not always linear, as I've said 2 million times in my 14 years here. I think we had very similar conversations about Pete last year. I'm not saying that Matt's going to have the August and September that Pete had last year, but we had these same conversations about where is he, where's his OPS, what's this doing to him mentally? Is he going to be able to fight through this? And I see a lot of the same thing.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine here until 11:30. Talking baseball, playing Chicago Bound. Bruce, catch me up. I've been off a few days. What is the latest in terms of the best, juiciest rumor about people who might be coming to Chicago? Is I think that when I left about a week ago, went on vacation, it was like starting pitcher. Got to get an ace. Got to get the top of the rotation guy. I come back and it feels like it's shifted to third base.
Well, the pitching, it's not identifiable in a truly ace form out there that's available. I mean, Sandy Alcantara has not pitched like an ace, mm-hmm. Okay? Gave up 6 runs the other day. Are you rolling the dice on a baseball card? Are you buying a baseball card where he was the Cy Young Award winner 3 years ago, as opposed to the reality of him coming back and reestablishing himself as a top one or two in baseball? He's really not that right now. So what type of gamble
Council
is that?
Council likes those guys, though. He likes the back of people's baseball cards.
Yeah,
he sticks with them.
But the reality is you're going to give up a lot of inventory for this guy. He's not coming here for nothing. You're going to give up a lot of young inventory for him. Is he going to be worth it? Is he going to be better than the guys that you have starting right now for you?
Well, it's a fair question, and I think you will look at what the Cubs are going through at third base. We heard Jed Hoyer coming in talking about the Matt Shaw PCA comparison. You'd love that to be the case. You'd love for him to be able to find his way next year and be on a similar trek. I think that might be wishful thinking, and it certainly doesn't help you now. So in the now, when you look at third base rumors, Brian Hayes and Eugenio Suarez, the name that only Pat Hughes can pronounce and make it sound like poetry, it is definitely...
Brian Hayes?
Yeah. Yeah, Brian. It's poetic. But both of those guys, would they be upgrades? I know Suarez would be, but that might be a pipe dream. How about Hayes?
No. I mean, he's a pro. He's an outstanding third baseman. He hasn't hit. He's got like 8 extra base hits in over 325 at-bats. 8, okay? I mean, he's got 2 home runs this year. 30 RBIs and 300 at-bats. He was considered one of the top young players in baseball 4 or 5 years ago before he started to get hurt, and he got hurt a lot. Is he an upgrade over Shaw right now? Yeah, I guess, because he's a pro that's played there long enough, but I don't think if you're looking for immediate offense, that's the guy. Suarez is another story.
Suarez is a guy who, if the Diamondbacks decide that they're sellers and if they're open for business, then you are one of several teams,
right,
that will be in line, and it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, I mean, are you giving up Ben Brown and Casey for him?
That's a lot, Bruce.
I'm just saying that's...
Well, you brought him up now. You brought him up now.
I haven't heard those names.
Now that you brought up that name. No, okay. Owen Casey.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez.
Oh, Pat. I miss Pat.
He loves that name.
He loves that name. It would sound so great. Pat Hughes announcing a Eugenio Suarez home run at Wrigley Field. Could you imagine that?
He has, but it was when he was with the Diamondbacks.
It might be Eugenio Suarez. Wow, that'd be great. Can you hear Zach in the background just cackling every time that he mentions?
You're calling
Eugenio
him a cackler?
No, Zach. It's the Zackler.
I think you, Sean, save this.
I love Zach. He knows that. All right, we don't get off track here. Suarez would require you to offer Owen Casey in all likelihood, correct?
I would say so, yes.
Would you part with the guy who is on many other teams, Bruce? He'd be starting in right field and probably in batting sixth or higher in Owen Casey. He can't do that with the Cubs because he's blocked. Would you give him up for a rental?
Are you going for the World Series or to get in the playoffs?
You're going to, at this stage, I think you've got to think World Series.
Then the answer is yes.
You've got to think World Series.
Then you have to say yes. Where does your, this year, what's the strength on your team?
It's, outfield.
Right. Now that could change as of November.
Well, it could change if Ian Happ doesn't start hitting again. I mean, Ian Happ's got to start hitting again.
I think he'll get back to his numbers.
2-for-32 in July.
Well, I mean, for the last 30 games, he's batting under 200. So, you know, it's a prolonged slump. He's had him before and come out of him. So that's another story and another issue. But the reality is you have him for one more year mm-hmm. under contract, and he has a no trade.
All right.
So he's your left fielder. You have your center fielder. Your right fielder is going to cost you $400 to $500 million.
Do you buy some of this latest rhetoric that if Jed Hoyer trades Owen Casey, he feels like he's got a better than good chance of retaining and signing Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, I
don't know.
Do
those two things
that.
Are related at all?
I don't think so. I don't think you look at your present team predicated on that. I think if you're going to try to win the World Series, that you're going to have to give up a Gleyber Torres.
I don't think that you can have that kind of certainty
way. You gave up an all-star player for Chapman to win a World Series, right?
He didn't know he was an all-star player, though. He had an all-star.
The Cubs knew that he was.
Torres?
Yeah.
They thought that they knew. It worked out that he was.
The scouting
you
director
never know,
knew.
Though. You never know.
The scouting director thought he was the best young player in the organization.
And do you remember the reaction? I know you remember the reaction on the day they traded for Aroldis Chapman, and he sat in that dugout, and what everyone thought when they were hearing him talk.
You were standing there with me.
I was standing there right next to you. And I was thinking the Cubs just won themselves a World Series right now. They made the trade that's going to put them over the top.
Right. And they did. You know.
And it was.
Right.
Now, I don't know if there's that guy out there that, see, the Cubs lacked that year that piece. You knew they needed a closer.
That was a bigger piece that they needed. I mean, the third base spot, can they win the World Series without a better third base?
Yes. I think they can.
Okay.
Now, I think I still believe the higher priority is a starting pitcher. I'm down on Alcantara because his last three outings, he's given up 18 runs. So I hear you, and I'll stop kind of that crusade if it was, you know, a couple weeks ago.
The problem is there's no other number ones that are going to be out there available.
Seth Lugo a one? No, maybe a two. Where are you on Mitch Keller now?
I mean, I like Mitch Keller. He's a really good pitcher. He's probably a number three on the Cubs, okay? Does that help you solidify your starting pitching moving forward? Does it have to be the sexy number one, or is a solid number three good enough to get you to the World Series? But, you know, as I was talking to Layla and Marshall on Friday, Marshall brings up the point, yeah, I don't see him starting game one or game seven of the World Series, right? So he was right. You're not envisioning that. But again, the Dodgers won a World Series last year with no starting pitchers.
They also had one of the best players of this generation who was batting in front of another one of the best players of this generation.
Offensively, they were destructive. The Cubs have been at many times this year as well.
The highest runs per game of any team in baseball.
They can also be shut down like they were three of the last four games.
And they were shut out six times this year.
Right. Great theater, and it's great that we're talking about a Chicago team that can go deep into the playoffs or even get into the playoffs.
Let's squeeze in a phone call before we take a break. Frank is in North Carolina. Frank, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Morning. Enjoy your show. I'm an old school guy like Bruce. But no offense, Bruce, because I appreciate your candor. I think the best thing, the biggest thing the Cubs need is a starting pitcher and a third baseman with a bat. That's going to be hard to get. And as far as Alcantara I saw him pitch against the Brewers, and you don't want him. I don't think you want him. You got to look for somebody better. And I just got one more thing about All-Star Game. You think it would be good for Major League Baseball to get rid of the All-Star Game?
No, I don't think so. Good suggestions other than that, Frank.
Well, how about just how about a different form of the All-Star Game?
I like what they're doing this year and wearing their uniforms. It's an exhibition. It's a
commercial.
Is Homer
Derby more interesting than the All-Star Game?
I definitely think there are years where that is the case. This might be one of them.
Right. So it's an exhibition now, and it's still a game. But as you pointed out earlier with the fact that, you know, people like the Cubs left-hander not being able to be in the game, is it really representative of an All-Star game or just the function of who's available?
That's a good question. Here's a better one. If they're going to let Jacob Mizorowski in after five games, why would they reluctant to add Adrian Hauser from the White Sox? Because of the small sample size. There's no smaller sample size in Major League history than Jacob Mizorowski. I love the Miz and what he does for the game.
Hauser is more deserving. It's a different league.
But it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Well, you can't let him in because he hasn't been there long enough. Jacob Mizorowski's been here 5 minutes, and he's already an All-Star.
Thank you, Zach. There's that cackle.
I love Zach. I miss Zach. Sometimes I just turn out. I love listening to the Cubs on the Score, which you can do right here if you keep it on the station, because Cubs pregame, 11:30 with Zach. First pitch, 12:05 on the Score in the Southwest
Wonderful
Airlines
Wonderful segue, radio man.
I'm back, Bruce. I'm back. All right. We're going to talk about some White Sox stuff. We're going to talk about some other things. We come back. We're here until 11:30 inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected. 90s prices on box mac and cheese. And 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rodon has allowed 3 hits so far and no walks and no extra base knocks. Deep drive, that might change now. If it's fair, this ball could leave the yard. Judge back to the wall, and a leaping try by Judge. He made the catch. Judge just took a home run away from Pete Armstrong. It was fair by only about 20 feet. Judge is enormous. He jumped and had his glove clearly up above the top of the fence and stole a home run from Pete Pro Armstrong. That's out number two.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Hall.
Judge is enormous. Pat Hughes reporting. That was last night. Cubs and Yankees 11-0. Cubs shut out. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, David Hall, Bruce Levine. Bruce, Carlos Rodon shuts down the Cubs. That's the, you talk about the ones that got away. Last night was tough for Chicago baseball fans, seeing Cody Bellinger go deep three times, and then Carlos Rodon, of all people, shut down
Cubs. What do you mean, bats. Of all people? He's an all-star.
I know, but he's a former White Sox pitcher that ideally would still be in Chicago.
Like Crochet, another all-star.
Stop it. That's true. My goodness.
Yeah.
The ones that got away. The all-star.
He's also not pitching in the all-star.
He's not going to pitch in the all-star
no,
game.
No, he's pitching this weekend.
Okay.
Nonetheless, a lot of that.
Aaron Judge robs PCA. PCA, though, that would have been, he's already, I know it's a made-up stat, but the first major leaguer to have 25 homers, 25 stolen bases, and 70 runs batted in by the all-star break.
Right.
He's going to make some money because of all of his statistical achievements.
He's going to make a lot of money.
Up to $1 million, according to the Associated Press.
Well, just imagine, you know, we've been talking on the score a lot about how much it'll take to sign PCA to a long-term deal, right?
Right.
And, you know, according to my sources, he turned down $90 million in conversations that they were getting to, or that was the number that was offered, and they decided to table that. The reality is that how much is he going to make in marketing going forward?
Well,
is he the mini Ohtani right now?
He's the face of the
on
Cubs.
The rise.
He's the face of the Cubs.
But let's say he hits a home run in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
How does he take a step up nationally as a young superstar?
That would be the way to do it, to become a more of a national spokesperson for different types of. So he's in every commercial. So he's in the, you know, already he's got a national profile that's growing. I think if you look at where he was a year ago compared to where he is now, I'm not sure there's a player in baseball that's probably improved his profile or spread his profile any more than Pete Crow Armstrong.
I mean, he's the number 18 in all of Major League Baseball selling jersey in Major League Baseball right now.
18 already?
18 already, yeah. Okay.
And he just got the new number 4 on opening day. He used to be whatever it was, 55 or 52. Yeah, he's an offensive lineman. That didn't look good. He got 4.
You're going to want to try to collect one of those 52 uni tops as well. Get that sign. You know, go to the go to the next auction.
To your point, he's going to be a rich man based on endorsements. He's also eligible for $1 million in the pre-arbitration bonus pool, which is based on WAR calculations and other equations, which will give him bonus money, essentially.
We've already learned that he's not driven by money. He's going to make a lot of money, right? You know, if he's turning down offers by the organization that, you know, $90 million, say it a couple times, mm-hmm. right? In real people money.
Imagine the confidence it would require a 22-year-old at the time to say, no, thank you. I'm going to pass on this $90 million guaranteed because I believe I'm going to be better than that next year, even though I have not proven much at the major league level.
Or you're not driven by money. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility. Yeah. It's obviously a reality in his case.
Sure.
It helps that he has he's in a profession that can be quite lucrative, and that so a bet like that isn't unusual. You see guys do it all the time, but for him to do it's still somewhat remarkable.
He just what he ever signed for with the Mets was probably well over $1 million, could have been a couple million. He probably felt right then and there he was set for life money wise.
Mm-hmm.
not worried.
He does a nice job of compartmentalizing things in terms of being Pete Crow Armstrong, young teammate, learning from his elders. Like the interview he did with Say Suzuki for Sunday Night Baseball was terrific. He's a guy who they say he's got a reputation already for how good he is with children. He's done everything right, Bruce. He was raised right, and he that's reflected in his humility and just the fun that he has playing the game.
My favorite soundbite of the year was in May, early May, late April, when I asked him, you know, are you a home run hitter or not? Who are you as a ball player? And he said, I don't know who I am. He said, I don't know who that's going to be.
Cody Bellinger thinks he's the best center fielder he's ever seen.
Right.
That's what he said yesterday about his former teammate.
He might have missed some of the Ken Griffey years.
I'm just saying, Cody Bellinger.
No, I mean, there's no question. We are so in the moment of saying what we see now is always the best, right? I mean, it's so important to say, you know what? Our time's being spent watching the very best of the best right now. And it's... You know, it's an argument that you can't win. You know, Ken Griffey Jr., Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio, you know, a lot of people think Devon White, you know, some of the great, there's so many great players that have come in 150 years of baseball.
PCA's not going to hit 600 home runs, but I think when you heard Ron Coomer reference Ken Griffey Jr. yesterday in terms of a guy that he remembered seeing, and I think just in that context is such a huge compliment for a player who's in really his first full major league season in PCA.
All I know is it's fun to watch. That's
this, this team is fun to watch. They have a bunch of likable guys whose chemistry is an element that is a strength.
You know, you have to listen to the score all next week and every single moment you can about baseball, because with the Cubs only having a one-game lead, this is a new dynamic moving forward about
can't miss.
The Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers.
You can't miss it. And you don't want to miss Wednesday and Thursday night here on The Score for a pair of Cubs radio classics. It's Game 6 Wednesday night at 6 of the 2016 NLCS. Cubs beat the Dodgers to win the NL pennant. Boy, Kyle Hendricks, spoiler alert, he was good that night.
Favorite game I've ever covered.
That one?
Yeah.
I almost agree with you.
Beyond the World Series.
Well... Game 7 was something else, Bruce. I got to say, Game 6 of the NLCS, the clincher was special, too.
Winning a pennant at Wrigley Field.
It was epic.
Okay?
It was.
It's still, in the last 75 years, it's still the most important game played at Wrigley Field.
Well, fans and listeners can debate that, because Thursday at 6, it's going to be the epic Game 7 of the 2016 World Series
played
in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I know. I will never forget that feeling that night, walking out of the stadium, incredulous. I can't believe what I just saw. I felt like I was Joe Buck or Jack Buck. That's what he said.
You're younger and better looking.
Wednesday, Thursday nights on the Score and the Odyssey app. You don't want to miss it. It is Game 6 of the 2016.
You know
NLCS
what else you don't want to miss?
Game 7.
You don't want to miss one of the more interesting and provocative players on the 2005 Chicago White Sox. Cliff Polite, our guest, as he helped celebrate the White Sox, celebrate the 20-year reunion of the 2005 championship.
It's bonus inside the clubhouse till 11:30 right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is nice.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.